So, Hare Krishna, continuing with Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 176, Mahavirya. So this name is similar to Mahabala and Mahashaktihi, which will come. Next name is Mahashakti. Mahabala has just been said. It gives the sense of great prowess, great strength, great energy. Specifically, virya means great potency. In the potency means potential, something that can be expanded into something more. So virya is also a name for semen. So the potency of the man mixes with the fermenting agent of the woman, and from that the child is born. But the potency that is required to be injected. So similarly, Lord Vishnu, he injects the potency for the whole universe to come into being. That virya means also that within that little drop of semen is the essence, all the essence is required, which can then develop. So he, Vishnu, he is the essence of everything. He possesses the essence. He injects the essence which creates the whole universe. So a man is considered very strong if he can father many children. Then how strong is Krishna? How many children does Krishna have? How many? And not only that, but universes, so many, everything comes from Krishna. So how potent is Krishna? Also, he doesn't become depleted by using his strength. He doesn't become depleted. Any strong man, however strong he may be, if he carries many weights or if he has to run and run and run or swim and swim and swim, at some point he'll become depleted of his energy, he'll become tired. Or if a man indulges in excessive sex indulgence, then he becomes weak. But Krishna, he doesn't become depleted. Of course, he also demonstrates pastimes of being tired so that he can lie down and be massaged by his cowherd boyfriends. Or he's resting always on the Bhujaga Shayanam. He's resting on the body of Ananta Shesha. But it's not that he's tired in the way that we are tired, but that is only for his pastimes. Otherwise, there's no depletion of his energy. He doesn't become lesser by expenditure of energy, as we become less. But he, despite having all power and expending all power, never becomes, even in the slightest bit, less in his potency. In fact, his potency is always increasing. So this is the really virile person. Virya, virile. Two words sound similar, don't they? So virya, the quality of a I'm not sure if that's etymologically connected, but that appears to have. Also, Vira means hero. So that name is also there, Mahavira. So Virya suggests the quality that makes one heroic, that makes one strong. A hero is not only strong in body, but strong in mind to perform the right activity, even if it is difficult to do so, even if it is risky to do so, even a great sacrifice to himself. So simply to be strong or simply to conquer others is not enough to be a great hero, but one should do so only for the right cause. And at great sacrifice to oneself, one becomes Mahavira. So, yes, Krishna is the greatly potent one. And of course, all potency comes from Krishna. Whatever power we see in this world, whatever power any person can manifest, that power is derived from Krishna and is only a tiny spark of the potency that is Krishna. So, let's see what else is here. Another indication of his mighty potency is that even though by his mighty potency the wind blows, the sun shines, the rain falls, the planets move in their orbits, there's no expenditure of energy on his part. It's effortless for himself. Just like flowers give out their fragrance without any effort on their part. The smell of the flower is simply an intrinsic quality of the flower. It's not that the flower has to do anything to smell nice. So similarly, the Shakti, the potency of the Shaktiman, the one possessing the potency, it is a natural inherent quality of his. He doesn't have to perform exercises to be strong. He's just naturally full of all potency. Virya can also be explained in a somewhat different, just a nuanced way. It's not that different, but it's the quality of achieving one's objective, no matter how difficult it is. That one can, whatever may be difficult to do, one who achieves that is said to be a greatly potent person. So, of course, nothing can stop Krishna in the performance of activities that he wishes to perform. There are different kinds of energy. Creative energy, the energy for maintenance, the energy for destruction. One who has complete control of these and complete control of his own mind and senses, who is the benefactor to everyone, such a person is fit to be called Mahavirya. So, name 177, similar name, Mahashakti. Shakti means energy or power. Krishna is the supremely powerful Shaktiman, who possesses the possessor of power. In Vedanta Sutra it is stated, Shakti Shaktimatora Bhedaha. Both the energy and the possessor of the energy are non-different. They're one cannot exist without the other. The source of all potency, or the fountainhead of all potency, naturally exists in relation to the expansions of its of the energy. It's meaningless to say that something is full of power if there is no power manifested. And the power that should be understood to be coming from a power source. So there is a difference, but there's definitely a difference, but at the same time, there's not a difference because both exist simultaneously, like the sun and the sunshine. There's no question of sun without sunshine. There's no question of sunshine without sun. So all the energies, they are existing. Whatever is existing is simply due to Krishna. So I may have some strength, you may have some strength. I can lift up one weight, maybe. I don't know what my capacity is. I wouldn't like to test it after getting... You're not supposed to lift heavy weights, hernia, all this kind of thing. I don't know, maybe 50, 60 kilos or something like that. And someone who's very strong, they can lift maybe 300 kilos. I think I asked recently, that seems to be the present weightlifting champion of the world, weight. Around 300 kilos. But for Krishna, this is all very insignificant. And even whatever any... Krishna, he lifts the whole universe. He can lift it up, he can push it down, he can juggle with different universes. Whatever power we have comes from Krishna. And his power is... immeasurable. There's previously one name is just given, Mahabala, which is very similar to Mahashakti, but Mahabala, this gives the idea of physical bodily strength. But Mahashakti, that somewhat different because it gives the idea of great potencies, various potencies. Those are described in Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate na tat samascha bhyadhikas cha drishyate parasya shakti vividhai vashuyate swabhavaki jnana balakriya cha. It is described, he has got nothing to do. There is no one equal to him or greater than him. The Supreme, has many, many potencies, parasya shakti. That means there are many potencies of the Supreme Lord. Here he's called Mahashakti because he possesses all such potencies. And those potencies are differently named according to their functions. Bala Shakti, the potency of great strength. Kriya Shakti, the potency for getting things done. So in this way there are various Shaktis of the Lord. Bhu Shakti is his energy which manifests as the earth planet. Then he has so many others. Nila Shakti, Ila Shakti, and so many are mentioned in Shastra. So he is the possessor of innumerable Shaktis or potencies. There is one class of person who prefers to worship Shakti rather than Shaktiman. They prefer to worship the potency rather than the potent. But it makes more sense to worship the potent. Those who worship the potency, they are typically worshippers of Durga in her various manifestations. But they should know that she herself gets strength only from Krishna, and therefore to worship her without seeing beyond that to Krishna, who is the giver of all potency, the whole material potency, all summed up, all put together, as Durga, that is Mamatejong Shasambhavam, that is only a slight manifestation of his great potency. And then there are so many other potencies which make this material world possible. It's all coming from Krishna. And this is not even his main world. There's his own spiritual world, which is beyond this. And that is also maintained by his own potency. So we can hardly imagine how great is Krishna. Just like an ant can hardly imagine how great is a human being, how physically powerful a human being is. It is beyond the scope of an ant even to imagine. How intellectually potent a human is, an ant cannot understand, because he's only in ant consciousness. He can't conceive of life being anything more than rushing out of the ant's nest to find some sugar or whatever, or dead mosquito, and drag it back, and then have a feast. But the... that's all. That's what ants do, isn't it? So that is ant existence. That is their whole... day and night goes in this, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending at their level. And they can't imagine what is going on in human society. So we are like ants in relation to the whole universe, and what to speak of he who has created and who maintains and who will ultimately destroy this universe. Our attempts to write so many books explaining how the universe is going on and what are the great potencies and how they all fit together, it's all meaningless and useless unless we accept that there is the ultimate, supremely potent personality of Godhead, supremely powerful personality of Godhead, who possesses all kinds of energies. The scientists, they study different energies, but they don't find the source of all energy, because he is beyond our microscopes, telescopes, this scope, that scope, beyond our power to even hypothesis about. We can understand him very well by his mercy, by his Shakti, we can understand him to the capacity that we have, but his powers are always far, far beyond those of ours. And even if we do have some ability to understand him by the blessings of his Jnana Shakti, by which he gives knowledge, we should know that our ability to understand him is always very, very, very limited. So, by all these names, Mahabala, Mahotsaha, Mahashakti, Mahadyuti, that will come. So all these names are there that glorifies the greatness of the Supreme Lord in being all-powerful, all-potent, all-effulgent, all-good, all-intelligent. So this glorifies the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, Krishna, and at the same time serves as a warning to those who would imitate Krishna, directly or indirectly. Directly, there are people who claim to be God. Some people are just so shameless. They claim to be God. And there are others who don't directly claim so, but act as if they are, or they perceive themselves to be. Ishvaroham aham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi. The demoniac person thinks that I am the center of the universe, I am in control, I am in charge, everything here in this world is meant for me to enjoy, I am the enjoyer. I'm perfect, powerful, and happy. But we should understand that Krishna, he is all perfect, he is all powerful, he is full of all potencies. Not that we ourselves have any independent power. We should know that whatever power we have is extremely limited, and that also is given by Krishna. We have no independent potency of our own. So whatever potency we have, that comes from Krishna, and we should be very grateful to Krishna for having provided us, especially with a human body, which is most conducive for developing Mahabuddhi, that was just mentioned. We can't develop Mahabuddhi to the great extent that Krishna does, but our intelligence, if we understand to fix that on Krishna, well, that's certainly Maha, that's certainly great in relation to all the closed up intelligence of even people who are supposed to be great world experts on so many subjects. But all these experts are simply expert in increasing the ethos in which people suffer repeated birth, death, old age and disease. Their great intelligence is not really intelligent because it's of no use to them or anyone else. Rather, by distracting others from the actual purpose of life, they're the least intelligent. It's paradoxical that most of the people in this world who are considered to be the most intelligent are actually, in many ways, the least intelligent, although they may have the ability to gather information and then analyze it in various ways, because people respect them as the most intelligent people of the current times in the world. Because they don't have knowledge of Krishna, all their knowledge is ultimately useless, because however intelligent and honored one may be in this world, they have to die, and then the intelligence that's been given to us in the human form of life, which is conducive for self-realization, that is likely to be taken away as one enters the lower species of life. And therefore, whatever potency one has, that is lost. One's physical strength, one's mental strength, one's political strength, whatever kind of opulence one may have, that's just, because it's material, it's just a temporary covering for the soul, for the spiritual consciousness, which places us into great illusion, thinking that I am so potent, I am so powerful, I am so happy, this I, and never remembrance of Krishna. So that is also another of Krishna's great shaktis, the Maya Shakti, by which persons who are by nature full of love for Krishna, They come to this world and what do? They forget Krishna. So how is that possible? If the jiva is by nature part and parcel of Krishna and full of desire to serve Krishna, that is the natural, pure, liberated state of the living being. But somehow or other we have come to this material world and we are forgetting Krishna. How can we forget Krishna? How is it possible to forget Krishna? That is possible by his own agency, the illusory energy of the Lord. So this is another great shakti of the Supreme Lord, that he provides a facility for everyone in the material world to forget him. How is that possible? By his great energy, the Mahamaya, that's just been stated here, that yaya samohitam jiva atmanam tri guna atmakam. This material energy of Krishna keeps jivas who by their very nature are meant to be full of bliss in the service of Krishna, keeps them away from Krishna. The consciousness does not run to Krishna because we are our natural propensity, that powerful propensity for loving Krishna has become covered by another potency which is there for forgetting Krishna. So that's also only possible by his Mahashakti, by his great potency, that he's able to, not that he does it directly, but this natural propensity of the soul to love Krishna, which is so powerful, that one who develops that potency by Krishna's mercy automatically crosses beyond the multiple covers of the universe, pierces through, and enters the spiritual world. So that should be the feeling that we have for Krishna should be so strong that it automatically covers over Maya. But it doesn't happen. Why? Because Maya is one of the potencies of Krishna and is very powerful. So Krishna, by his energy, he covers our consciousness so that we don't remember how we're supposed to be living with and loving Krishna. That power of loving Krishna, that is more powerful than millions of armies. That is more powerful than the effect of the material nature, which gives us a certain kind of body in which we have to suffer or enjoy also, mostly suffer, in this material world. But the if we can take shelter of Krishna, who is with all potencies, even the Maya potency, that very powerful potency, that is only one of Krishna's potencies. So if we surrender to Krishna, daivhi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mam eva ye prapadyante maya metam tarantite, that very powerful potency of Krishna by which we remain locked in this material world, we can easily cross beyond that if we take shelter of Krishna. The materialistic people, they worship the external energy. They're called shaktas. And they worship the material energy that's just coming up now, Durga Puja or Kali Puja. So they worship this external potency of Krishna. The devotee of Krishna worships Krishna, the potent, of whom that this whole display of the material world is simply a display of his potency. And he has a higher potency by which we can get free from this material condition also. So we should always remember that Krishna is the most powerful And although Maya seems to be very powerful, and is in fact very powerful, Krishna is more powerful than Maya. And that's true also in respect to the workings of the material energy. We may think that, oh, the demons, they're controlling the world. What shall we do? What shall we do? Chant Hare Krishna. And that will, then we say, well, that won't stop Maya. Actually, it will stop the demons. If enough people chant Hare Krishna, or even one person chants Hare Krishna with a great purity, that will change the whole course of human society. People may ask us, what are you doing about this and that? What are you doing about the ecological issues and the what are you doing about the terrible situation in the world? We're chanting Hare Krishna. What? Why don't you do something practical? This is the only thing practical. To attempt to juggle around within the morass of the material energy, then we just get sunk more and more in the bog, and we get more and more in a dangerous position. But if we take shelter of Krishna, and if we induce others to, then we can transcend this whole situation. Otherwise there's no solution to it. We may make some laws for cutting the emissions of carbon dioxide and all this kind of thing. But carbon monoxide or whatever. Because the exploitive tendency is there, the idea that I shall enjoy this material world, then foolishness that we'll enjoy now and let the future look after itself. It's a very foolish philosophy. Just like if we're driving in a car and there's a brick wall ahead, but we think, oh, let me just adjust the air conditioning and adjust my seat. This is foolishness. That is another potency of Krishna, that we are, yes, the foolishness by which we think, let me be comfortable now. But Krishna, if we surrender to Krishna, he gives us the intelligence by which we can actually act in a sane way. And then we understand that even adjusting the environment and this and that. All right, okay, you can do that. That's not a bad thing. But it's not, the ultimate objective is not to make a nice environment in which we can eat, sleep, mate and defend, and suffer birth, death, old age and disease. But the Krishna gives the intelligence, Mahabuddhi. He is most intelligent. He gives us the intelligence by which we can not be preoccupied with the conditions within this jail, but understand that our real salvation, our real interest, self-interest, is to get free from this condition altogether. So, yeah, shakti, shakyata, means possibility. So everything is possible for Krishna. There's no impossibility for Krishna. Krishna can do anything. Can Krishna create a weight so great that even he cannot lift it? This is the trick question. If God is so powerful, can he create something so heavy that even he cannot lift it? So this question, or something just like this, was put to Srila Prabhupada, who said, yes, and then he'll lift it. So you put a paradoxical question, you get a paradoxical answer. But the point is that Krishna, he can do anything and everything, and it doesn't have to be within the scope of our tiny little intelligence to understand. So Shakyata, that also gives the idea of endurance that I just discussed. These names, Mahabala, Mahotsaha, they're all very similar. So another meaning of Shakti is derived as Samartyam, or ability to do, or skill. So he's the most skillful. Krishna is very skillful. He very expert. He creates the whole material world in such a way that everyone is suffering, but they think they're enjoying. Because we have the idea to enjoy, but we cannot enjoy separately from Krishna. That is not possible. But the illusion of that is set up. So that is Krishna's great skillfulness. He's also very skillful in making arrangements for his devotees to actually enjoy, to actually be happy. And he's so skillful that he doesn't even do all this by himself. He's not sitting down working out how to do it all. It all goes on. Parasya shakti vividhaiva shuryate swabhaviki. All his energies, they go on naturally, just by his own nature. It's just like that. Everything goes on very well, even without him having to bother about it. Just like if we eat food, we don't have to say, okay, glands, get to work. Pump in some enzymes and some acid into the stomach and then push it all down into the intestines. We don't have to even think about it. Krishna's material energy arranges all of that. So similarly, Krishna, all his energies, they simply work as if automatically. He knows what's going on. He's conscious directly and indirectly conscious of everything. But he doesn't have to personally supervise every little function. It all goes on by his potencies. They work so nicely that everything goes on automatically. So, yeah, Kriya Shakti, Jnana Shakti, the power of knowledge. Iccha Shakti, yes, that's another important. These are all mentioned in Shastra. The power of desire, the power of knowledge, everything is perfect and complete within Krishna. And all these potencies he uses, he doesn't misuse them. People who have some power in this world, they tend to misuse that to exploit others. But Krishna has no such motive. He's really the great hero because he has tremendous and mighty potencies, but he uses them only for the benefit of others, and particularly for the benefit of his devotees. Hare Krishna, any question about this? Scientist?
Parasya, like para means beyond, but you were saying...
No, para in this sense, the primary meaning will mean the supreme. Yeah, beyond, he is who is beyond all of us. So the supreme. Parasya means of the para. When you see this asya, you know that means of, Krishnasya, like that.
All energies work simply by his desire. He doesn't have to arrange them.
Yeah, they are heard of in this way. They're in various ways. They are heard of in various ways. We can hear about them means they are known in various ways. In one sense, he has one potency, but that manifests in many different forms.
So Shuyate means are heard about.
Literally means, yeah, heard about, described, mentioned. Like this.
And vividhaivate means in various...
Vividhaiva, yeah. Vividha... Iva means as if. So, or to emphasize. So, in various ways. They are known in various ways, or they are in various manifestations. Swabhaviki. That can be understood in very. The word swabhaviki can also be understood to mean that they are of his very nature. They're not separate from him. Shakti, shakti matar abheda. It's not that he has to do any practice, or he doesn't have to. Study or bring them from any other source. They are just concomitant with him. They exist with him. Since when? How? No, they're just him. They are with him all the time. There's no question of them being separate from him, but they are perceived as if separate, although not separate. They're just of his very nature. And then swabhaviki can also mean automatic, because it doesn't require any effort on his part to ignite them or activate them. They're just running on, but under his control also, because they're his potencies. He's not out of control. Everything's under his control.
Avatar generally refers to Lord Vishnu, but Shaktivesh Avatar is a jiva who's been so empowered that he can act.
Well, avatar literally means one who descends. So, avatar, the word actually may be more suitable for a jiva who comes from the spiritual world to this world and is invested with a particular potency, Shaktyavish, to act within this world on behalf of Vishnu, because Vishnu is always here. But it is called avatar because his various forms within the spiritual world become manifest in this world, with those forms which are not always manifest, but Vishnu is always here. So he's said to be avatar. Not that he jumps down from the spiritual world and lands without a parachute here. But he's always here, actually. He's always here. Sometimes he shows that pastime of coming from a long distance, as in the case of Gajendra. He came on the back of Garuda. But actually he didn't have to. He could have just appeared right there, just manifested himself and chopped the crocodile's head off. Or he didn't even have to come at all. But why does he come at all? Well, for the pleasure of his devotees. Otherwise there's no need for him to do anything. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natatsamas chabhyadikastra drishyate. He doesn't have anything to do. But he acts simply for pleasure, that's all. And his pleasure is giving pleasure to his devotees. So like this, he comes specifically for the pleasure and uplift of his devotees. Otherwise, why should he come? He's called avatar, yes. You could also say he comes up because he's up, he's down. You could also say he comes from sideways because he's in all directions. 10 principal directions. He's in all of them. So, but we say avatar with the yes, that the spiritual world is above the material world, that he is above material existence, tamasah parastat. He is beyond this darkness of this material world. Anything else? Yes, please. How to increase a strong desire to serve? Well, you're lucky you have it. I didn't get it yet. You should tell me. But all these activities of hearing and chanting about Krishna, they're meant to help us advance in Krishna consciousness. So if we hear about Krishna, then we have that should increase our desire to serve Him, isn't it? You look confused. It shouldn't be confusing. It's a very straightforward principle. If we have developed faith in Krishna and serving Krishna, then by hearing about Him, that faith should increase. If we hear from devotees, if we don't hear from Mayavadis and other rascals, then naturally by hearing about Him, our desire to serve Him will increase. If we hear from Mayavadis, then our desire to serve Him will decrease. So don't hear from Mayavadis. The Mayavadis, we won't even believe that He exists if we hear from them. That they kill bhakti, even though they very snidely present themselves as being devotees. But they don't believe, they don't accept that Krishna is the Supreme Lord who we have to serve. So that kind of bhakti, that is not bhakti at all. That's worse than being an atheist. So we should be very careful not to hear from non-devotees. Mayavadi Baha. Jibe Nishta Lagi Shutra Koilo Bhyas Mayavadi Bhasha Shunile Hoy Sarvanash. Vyasadeva compiled the Vedanta Sutra for the benefit of the jivas. But if we hear the Mayavad commentary on that, then we'll be, not only will we not be benefited, but we'll be completely destroyed. So be careful. Don't associate with Mayavadis. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Sri Gauranitai ki jai. Sri Radha Gopi Bhallab ki jai. Jagannath Subhadra Baladev ki jai. Hare Krishna.